Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is KF4TEK, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater. That's this one right here in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website, w4va.org, or send an email to farinet@w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. This evening I will talk briefly about the differences between linear and switching power supplies, what they are, what their advantages and disadvantages are. But if you have a topic that you would like to discuss, a question you would like answered, or something you just want to throw out to the net in terms of technical Q&A, please call now. Alrighty, hearing none, we will roll with that topic and the usual, how have you been doing in amateur radio lately? Does anyone have any announcements or news that they would like to bring to the net this evening? If so, please call now. Okie dokie, I'll just pass on that if you have not RSVP'd for the December gathering, please do so to allow for a more accurate estimate of the amount of food that needs to be stowed as leftovers. With that, let's take a round of check-ins. If you'd like to join us this evening, please call as soon as I can get NetLogger up. Now.
This is K1HTV. KF4KU. KM4SPL.
Ski Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor, in and out.
Ski Delta 8, Quebec, Charlie November, WD8QCN, good evening.
And 7IVV.
Alright, we picked up K1HTV, KX4KU, KN4SPL, WB7RAV, no comment. WD8QCN, N7IVV. Anyone else who would like to check in? Don't even have to have a comment ready. Just check in, let us know you're listening. And if you have a question or comment, more than welcome to offer it up. Anyone else who'd like to join us, please call now.
KX4O. KX4O.
KO4CLR.
W8BT.
KO4LKP.
Alrighty, I got KX4O, and someone behind KX4O that I didn't get and didn't come back. So if you checked in around the same time as KX4O, keep your ears perked and please come back with your call after I acknowledge these other stations. Also picked up KO4CLR, W8BT, and KO4LKP. Who is the station that I missed?
KO4QJR.
All right, I copied Kilo Oscar 4 Quebec Juliet Romeo. Is that correct?
That's correct. Diana.
Diana, awesome. Thank you for your patience and thank you for joining us tonight. All right, this is KF4TEK for the Far East Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and I will now give a brief overview of the differences, pros and cons, between the two types of power supplies that you will find in your ham shack and just about anywhere else, the linear power supply versus the switching power supply. Used to be that every power supply was a linear power supply. It's an older, simpler technology, but it is less efficient for reasons which will become clear in a few moments. And they are generally larger and heavier per unit output compared to a switching power supply. So just some high-level pros and cons. The linear power supplies are generally quieter in terms of noise. It's easier to make a low-noise linear power supply. although there are good low-noise switching power supplies out there. A linear power supply has excellent and rapid regulation, which means that it can respond to changes in demand very quickly and typically still, even today, faster than a switch mode power supply. And for, you know, for those two reasons, you'll still find them used in critical applications. Switch mode power supplies are much smaller and lighter for a given power output. They are more efficient in terms of energy consumed versus energy passed on. However, they tend to be a lot noisier, especially in the RFI, EMI domains that concern amateur radio operations. Not because it's hard to make them quieter, but because their very design produces noise and it costs money to filter that noise out, and a lot of designs or applications that are watching every fraction of a penny don't bother to do that, and you end up with switch mode wall warts all over your house that are spewing RF and EMI all over the place. So a lot of people know that stuff already, and I guess the follow-on question is, why do those particular power supplies have those properties? And to answer that question a little bit, we'll look at the overall design and architecture of the power supplies, if you will. So in a linear power supply, the mains voltage comes in typically through a switch, and then it'll go into a large transformer. There'll be maybe a little bit more mains-related filtering and protection on the front end, but by and large, the mains voltage goes straight into a large power transformer that operates at the mains voltage and the mains line frequency, which is 60 or 50 hertz, depending on where you are. 60 here in the U.S., 50 abroad. And the transformers have to be large in order to handle line voltage to a voltage much closer to what you want out the power supply, and do it at 60 hertz. And that just requires mass. It just requires a lot of iron, and that requires, that implies a lot of mass and some just weight. So that's the first big difference. The power leaves the step-down transformer and then is typically rectified by full-wave bridge rectifier and into a large filter bank of capacitors. And then you will have some additional smaller filtering capacitors, and then you will have your output regulation circuitry, simple or complex, depending on whether it's adjustable, whether it's a constant voltage and constant current supply, or it's just a constant voltage supply, whether it's adjustable or not, and over what kind of range, and so on and so forth. But that's pretty much the end of the road for the linear power supply. It does its power, it does the bulk of its voltage conversion in the AC domain, the line's frequency at 60 hertz, and then it does its regulation in a linear analog kind of way with pass transistors, shunt regulators, and other analog devices that are set up to provide a constant output voltage. So if you think about that for a minute, you may realize that the more voltage that has to be discarded by the regulating element, the more power is going to be lost as heat, because Ohm's law, right? You've got I equals E over R, or E equals I over R, however you want to cover up that pi. And you've got your other friend, power equals I squared R. So if your big beefy transformer steps 120 volts down to 15 volts, and then you set your power supply output 5 volts, you've got another 10 volts that's got to go somewhere, and that gets dropped across the output pass transistor or shunt regulator. And if you're not drawing that much current, that isn't a whole lot of power. But if you start to draw a couple amps, then you're dropping 10 volts at several amps across those output devices, and that's where the heat comes from, and that's where the efficiency begins to drop significantly. So how does that compare to a switching power supply? Well, a switching power supply, the line's voltage comes into the unit and it gets rectified immediately to DC. So you will see the mains come in, it'll go through a bridge rectifier into a couple of smallish but much higher voltage capacitors. So you'll immediately have 170, 200 volts DC right after that stage. And then that high voltage DC will be used to drive a high frequency pulse width modulated oscillator. And that oscillator will feed a much, much smaller transformer where the step down, where the bulk of the step down occurs. So in the linear power supply, the bulk of the step down occurred at 60 hertz, which required a very large piece of iron. In a switching power supply, the bulk of the step down occurs at, you know, tens or hundreds of kilohertz, and you can do that with a much smaller piece of iron. It's just a byproduct of the way inductance works in magnetics. As the frequency goes up, you need less material to allow that to happen. So on the other side of that transformer, again, you've got the AC to DC rectification, and then you will find some additional filtering and sensing components. The sensing component will feed back across the gap to the high voltage side to adjust the width of the pulse width modulator, and that will adjust the amount of juice available on the low side. And then on the low side, you will get that final filtering output, maybe another small amount of analog regulation, and then out the door. So the big difference there is that your transformer is operating at a much higher frequency. You've got a pulse width modulator loop that is controlling how much energy is being offered up to the transformer in the first place, and that reduces the amount of mass in your transformer. It reduces the amount of waste voltage that has to be dropped on the low side, and it allows things to be more efficient, but you have some additional delay in handling sudden changes in output demand. And you have that high-frequency oscillator. They're creating all kinds of hash that then needs to be contained and filtered out, which is, you know, not difficult, but costs component money, and sometimes manufacturers just don't want to spend it. So that's the end of my little overview there. Probably a lot of people knew the basic differences between linears and switching, and they knew the quality differences, attribute differences. But now you know a little bit more about why those differences exist, and thought that folks might find that interesting. So that's enough out of me. We will now turn it over to you. Let us know how your week in amateur radio has been, what kind of cool stuff you've been doing, and how you are in general. So we'll start at the top of the list with Rich, K1HTV. How you doing?
Hello, Mike, and the rest of the group. This is K1HTV. Thanks, Mike, for doing the net. Doing a great job. A couple things to add regarding the switching power supplies. It is much easier, AC ripple, to reduce it. It takes a much larger capacitor at 60 hertz than it does when your switching power supply is running at 10 to 100 kilohertz. And you can use very small capacitors, relatively small, so you'll notice that in switchers, the capture is smaller. For the same voltage, you'll see a lot smaller capture. It does takes a lot less capacitance to filter out a high frequency than it does a low frequency. Oh, let's see, what have we been doing? Today was a busy day, about 5 hours spent outside of that, most of the time. The guy who did the most of the work was Andy, K1RA, climbed a 90-foot tower with a ground crew of Travis, W8BT, and Terry, W8ZN, and myself. we were able to lift the, I did the least of the work, I think, lift the ring, take the guy wires off the upper guy ring. I had a problem with the tower not rotating properly. When it goes to the east, it would freeze and could not go any farther. So took the guy ring, the guy wires off the top ring, dropped it down, tied it to the tower for safety, and then physically lifted this large 100-plus pound upper part of the ring up, and maybe it's more like 50 or 70 pounds. Anyway, very heavy. I got to lift it up and put a couple 2x4s under it. Andy did some work on it, did some drilling, found out the bearings we have are not quite the right ones we need for the type of holes that are up there. So, and the process, put a level up there on the lower guy ring, found out it was not level, which may have been a big contributor to this problem we've been having with the freezing of the rotator to the east, the rotating tower to the east. So the tower is leveled, rings were put, the old bearings were put back in place, and tower seems to rotate fine, although more work has to be done on it. Probably will be done on Wednesday or Thursday if we have some warm weather. So success in the fact that the tower does now rotate the full 360 without binding. As far as Little India from China, on a skewed path over Europe, over northern Europe. Normally the path to China is due north over the pole. This particular path was skewed to the northeast of us. I was able to work him, one of the few spaces, if the only one maybe in North America, that I could see that worked him. A couple others put him out, but put spots out for him, but nobody else seemed to work him. Two new ones on 40 meters on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, see, Friday and Saturday, worked a couple of new ones. One was EY8MM in Tajikistan, and actually that was done on Wednesday night right after the net. EY8MM on 40 meters for country number 322, and that was a surprising one. But even more surprising was being able to work XV1 X-ray in Hanoi, Vietnam on 40 meters. On Saturday morning, I believe it was. It's very surprising being able to work that far, but 75 watts. So, but the antenna, it's all in the antenna. It's the antenna that makes it happen. That's it for now. Back to that control, K1HTV.
All right, Rich. Well, it sounds, if I heard that right, your tower is now working. So if I did hear that right, that's fine business, and congratulations on the whole crew for getting that going. And yeah, thanks for the insight on the capacitors and the filtering. Definitely true. All right, this is KF4TDK for the FARA Center 9 Technical Services Net, and we will slip on to Kevin, KX4KU. How are you doing?
KF4TDK, KX4KU. Just on your as much as I can, and Mastrons have been around for a very long time and have a good reputation, so that's why I picked up the piece of iron or whatever that I have. So, other than that, the conditions, as Rich said, are pretty marginal on the low band. But I've been trying to do some stuff on a higher band. That's all I got tonight. I'll turn back over to you, my KF4TK, KX4KU, back tonight.
All righty, Kevin. Fine business. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, you know, no TV could be a lot worse. I don't know. You're not missing that much. Good luck on the bands. Moving on to, I believe we're up to Bob, KN4SPL. How you doing?
KF4TEK from KN4SPL in the net. And again, to reiterate, thank you, Mike, for running the net tonight. Good information on the power supplies. Actually, I have all my power supplies are either the switching or battery. The switching power supplies is all I know, and I've really never had any problems with any noise on them. Two power supplies that run most of my station are TEK power supplies, 30 amp, and I've had no issues with them. So, anyway, the information you gave was very good, so thank you there, Mike. Besides that, just been working a little bit of FT8 on 20 and, actually 30 and 40 tonight. Actually, the TV topic came up, and actually, I had to replace one today, so that was a little bite to the budget, but hey, it's a 4K Ultra.
All right, Bob. Yeah, I like the simplicity of the bricks myself. I've got some several lying around, and I don't like to move them either, like Kevin. Although I've heard people have had very good luck with certain Samlex and Elinco switching power supplies made specifically for communication. So I don't want to ding them. They definitely put out a lot of junk for a lot of juice for a low price in terms of desk space and weight and heat. So all right, well, we are up. Steve, WD8QCN, how are you doing tonight?
And Sabine, everyone on the net. Yes, from PPY on the net, WD8QCN. So far, so good. Nice Sunday, getting a lot done around here. And I managed to chase a little bit of DX. I did manage to work Charlie 5 Charlie in Gambia this week. Right now, I'm hearing Delta Tango 8 Alpha, which is the Korean Antarctic expedition on 30 meters. Let's see, FR4UB in Reunion is on. Couple other interesting ones out there. VP80N Falkland Islands is on right now too. He just came back on. He was QRT for a couple hours. Must have went off and got dinner. Let's see. Other than that, I was going to ask Rich about the bearings on that tower. Are those sealed bearings or are those open ball bearings?
On HTV. Those are sealed bearings.
Cameron HTV WD8QCN. And with the net. Very good. Yeah, there's, I don't know if you managed to re-grease them. I've got some tips and tricks on how to force grease into sealed bearings, so or shielded bearings at the very least. I don't know how completely sealed they are, but there are sneaky tricks for getting grease into the cracks if you wanted to redo those.
Roger. And he's seen them up close and personal, so he'd be the guy to figure out if that can be done. But anyway, that's the word of the bearings. Hopefully the new bearings, we're putting new bearings in.
K1HTV, WD8QCN, that's all I had. I'll throw it back to net control. Go ahead, Sippy, KS1PPY in the net, WD8QCN.
I'm sure Mike is still here, so I'll pick it up. This is at 7IVV. I wasn't keeping track of who checked in, but whoever checked in after WD8QCN, go ahead and take it.
That would be you, Brad.
Oh, okay. My apologies. And my apologies to anybody who's listening. I just sent a message out, a direct email that's supposed to have voting buttons on it. And I've used voting buttons many, many times on Excel, on Outlook, and doesn't seem to be doing what I want it to do. So, forgive me. But anyway, everybody check out the note I posted on groups.io about the holiday party and respond there. As far as radio stuff, I am now HF handicapped. No, impaired. I had to disconnect the coax to all of the two antennas that I have in my backyard in preparation for some groundwork that will be done this week for a new patio. Although I just got thinking that I can retask one of those pieces of coax and put it up on the roof for a 40/80 meter dual band for inverted V that I have up there that I haven't been using for a long time. So I'll do that in the next day or so and be able to at least work those two bands. Otherwise, I'm just using my tri-band 10, 15, and 20-meter Yagi. So I won't be able to try and pick up the Antarctica station. I think I've worked them before, but on different bands. So anyway, I think that's all I've got. Back to you, N7IVV.
All right, thanks, Brad, and thanks for picking it up while I was apparently off frequency. All right, we are up to John, KX4O. How are you doing tonight, sir, from the frigid Northeast?
Okay, so thanks, Mike, for taking it. It's nice and warm in here next to this wood stove. Linear power supplies, you know, it's funny. I've used both a mix of switchers and linears. And I've found the switchers are far better than they used to be. That said, all my Kiwis use the switcher option suggested by the Kiwi folks, Kiwi SDR. Then there is the preamps that I have set up, which I went ahead and got linear wall warts for that. I have the transformer, the rectification, and the capacitor part, but not any regulation. I put that right up next to the preamps. And I haven't really had a chance to assess them. I plugged them in and left for me. Seemed to be working okay. My only real problem is overdrive from the shortwave broadcast stations. Other than that, looking well. But so let's see, I'm participating in the WWB test that Steve mentioned earlier on the reflector. So I'm trying to get it set up to record all the possible WWB frequencies in two different ways. And I think I finally accomplished that, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, good to hear you all.
Okay, John, five is this. Well, thanks for joining us from up there by the wood stove. Good luck with your WWV experiment. Let us know how it goes. And you broke up just a little bit about the end there, but I think it was all just so long, and thanks for all the fish, so we'll let that go. That brings us down to Alexi, KO4CLR. How you doing tonight?
This is KO4CLR. Hello, good evening, everyone. I'm not sure how long I'm making it in that. I had to go...
Okay, fine business. Well, definitely, we will do that. Brad sent out an email to the reflector, and I'm sure that you can provide additional email, additional info after the net if you need it off. What am I trying to say? Via some means other than email. And very good. Thanks for joining us, and drive safe. All right, that brings us up to Travis, W8BT. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Mike and all on the net. This is W8BT. Doing well. Neck's a little bit sore from looking up so much today, but other than that, doing pretty good. I wanted to mention, I noticed a few of the cheaper switching supplies you take apart sometimes. There's spots on the boards for capacitors and inductors. They just chose not to put them there, so... If you ever wanted to quiet one up, you could probably just throw in some capacitors and inductors and quiet it right down. But anyway, I was hoping to get my antenna up here maybe Tuesday when the wind dies down. But I just remembered tonight there's one thing I'm not looking forward to, and that will be the spark gap transmitter that my uncle installed to contain the cows. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure I want to hear that, but... Maybe it won't be as bad as I think. But anyway, that's all I've got. W8BT back to net.
Okay, Travis. I just wonder, like, do cows copy CQ? But maybe if it's injected directly into their sides. And out here, or at least talking out loud. Don't know how much thinking I'm doing. But I'm ready to move on to the next folk on the list. It's KO4LKP. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, this is Glenn, KO4LKP, transmitting from Northern Spotsylvania County, and I thank you for a very good overview on power supplies. I was doing computer maintenance, hardware maintenance at the time when it was transitioning to switching, and there's a striking difference, especially when you scale it up. We had 200-watt power, 200 amp power supplies in racks that took two guys to move. When we went to switchers, you could actually hold one in one hand if you supported it right. So striking difference when you scale it up and you get into the high current applications. But that was a very good overview, and I thank you for that.
Well, certainly, no problem. Glad you enjoyed it. And yeah, it is sort of mind-blowing how much power you can stuff through the system if efficiency is your goal. Do you have anything else for the net? If not, go ahead, throw out your call, and thanks for joining us.
KO4LKP going to the side. Thank you very much.
All right, Glenn, thanks again. Glad to have you, and hope to have you again soon. That brings us down to KO4QJR. Diane, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well tonight, and I'm hoping to
get more into ham radio now that my activities are transitioning from outdoor to indoor because it's too cold and too dark. So I'm hoping to get more active, and I don't really have anything else to add, but thank you for doing the net, and thanks for the information on the power supplies.
All right, excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. And, yeah, Roger, the gets dark early, gets cold. Definitely time to find those winter hobbies and bring them out of the closet. So looking forward to having you check into more of our nets, and glad you found tonight's discussion interesting, or at least not too soporific. Got anything else for the net, let us know. Otherwise, toss out your call, and we'll give out another call for CQs in a minute. Okay, well, with that, we're at the bottom of our list, so I will say if anyone would like to join us, anyone would like to say another 2 cents worth, please call now. Fine business. Well, it's been a good one, so I would like to thank everybody for joining us this evening. This has been KF4TEK for the FRA Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and I would like to remind you, if you would like further information regarding tonight's discussion or anything else about FRA, please see our website, w4va.org, or send that email to faranet@w4va.org. This is KF4TEK closing the net and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks, and 73.
November, Romeo, 3, November, disconnected.
KO4LKP. KO4LKP.
KO4LKP, this is N7IVD, good evening.
KO4LKP, yeah. Greetings. I'm just taking a little break from football here. I found myself glued to the couch today and just couldn't get up.
Okay, so getting on the radio is going to help that. Hi, hi. Yeah, I know what you mean about being glued to a chair or whatever. That's what I kind of tend to do.
Did you get a chance to get out today? It was pretty cold. I normally go out bike riding, but today was not the day for it.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I did get out. I had to coil up the coax that goes out in the backyard to my multi-band vertical, because obviously it's just laying on the ground, but I've got some folks coming in tomorrow or Tuesday to start doing some excavating, some digging and whatnot for a new patio I got to put in, and it would have been very sad if they had cut my cable, so I had to pull it down, disconnect it, roll it up, and be without HF for a little while. But then I got doing some stuff and built a fire to burn some old wood I had laying around, and I kind of had an enjoyable afternoon until sunset, and I got called in for dinner. So it was quite pleasant for, you know, obviously jacket weather.
Yeah, I managed to get out yesterday. I was able to ride 20 miles, and I don't know. Today the cold seemed to go through me. I don't know why, but I just didn't make it out today, and it was a beautiful week last week, and I had a great play. Fall got nice once it got a little bit later in the season. It was so warm early on, but it was beautiful last week.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I took an airplane ride here a couple of years ago. My wife gave it to me as a gift certificate for Valentine's Day, and I finally got around to taking the flight in October, and the last year or so I've been thinking, you know, I really want to go back up and I want to do the one-hour version, so I finally ponied up to do that, and I guess it was Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful day for a ride. Got to fly the thing around a little bit. He's based out of the Warrenton Airport, and had a good time, had a really good time. So, yeah, it was a beautiful week, and my guess is we're kind of into, I mean, you know, it is the middle of November, so we're pushing cold weather again. This is N7IVV.
04LKP. Yeah, every day is a bonus. Boy, I bet it was a beautiful day to be up last week. My goodness. I haven't been on a small plane like that in a long time. I was in the service, and where I was stationed, they were giving out rides to the servicemen there in North Carolina. But, I've been a long time since I've been on a small plane.
This is W4VA repeater.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I tend to air sickness, unfortunately, and being able to take control and fly the plane makes a huge difference, although I had a hard time this last week because I think I was still under the influence of my COVID booster and I almost canceled the thing early that morning because I felt so lousy the night before, and I just don't think that the med that I took and flying the plane was sufficient, and I just, you know, I tended to, I was sick half the time, but I loved it. You know, I wasn't so sick that I couldn't stand it because it was just, it's fun. You know, an easy plane to fly. It's an old Stearman biplane, and I don't fly. I mean, I don't have a pilot's license or anything, but fellas.